little mini series on living a different life, living the life that God created me to live. And I've got two scripture readings for you. We're going to do the one now, the one a little later. One from the Old Testament, Psalm 51, and then a little later we'll go to Matthew chapter 11. Now, Psalm 51 I'm going to do from the NIV, so easy to follow. Matthew 11 is going to sound completely different because I'm going to read that from the Message, but I think this is one of the best, and it's not a translation. The Message is not a translation, but let's call it renditions, whatever you want to call it, of translating Matthew 11. I love it. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible from the Message. Psalm 51, just a little background, is the psalm that was written when the prophet Nathan came to David the king, after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan came and spoke to David about this. And after David realizing how he really messed up, David wrote this beautiful psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would have brought it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite one. That beautiful, beautiful gift from God, and a man like David can write a psalm like this after messing up so badly. I have too many bulletins on my way. So as we come to the end of our little series, living a different life, the way that God intended me to live, it's all about change. So, by show of hands, anyone here ever struggle with change? And you can be honest, it's a church. Okay, I think we've all been there, done that. Struggling with change, for the good or for the bad. You never know about that. So this morning, what I'd like to do with you is to walk with you through these questions of why is it so difficult to change? How is it that we get stuck so easily and we can't get out of this mold that we're in? And what can we do so we can become that person that God wants me to be? How can I change? Now, to help me introduce this, I have a little video. It's a little gory, so forgive me for that. It has no sound. You don't need sound for this, but you'll get it in a second. Let's try. Let's see if it'll work out. That's not the video. Brown horsefly meets itsy bitsy spider. Where we come from, that's not even a spider. They look like this, you call them a spider. You know. You call them a spider when they look like this. The reason I put this little gory piece on there for you is this interesting moment. Here's this big horsefly that we don't like because they hurt and they bite you. Flies into the spider's web. You can see it. Lands into the spider's web. It's there. If you look closely, you'll see it. But it can fool you. And before you know it, you're in it. And he's in it. Did you see what the spider did? He didn't kill him. Just wrapped him up. Just wrapped him up. And there he is. He's done. Can't move. And I thought that's such an interesting image of us in our lives. And how sometimes we can't change because we get wrapped up in all the things of our lives. That sometimes, like that little spider's web, we don't even see. We don't even realize we're running into this trap, but before we know it, there we are. And before you know it, slowly but surely, we're wrapped up. And we're wrapped up. And there I am. I'm stuck. Remember my questions? Why is change difficult? How does it happen that we get stuck, and how do we get unstuck? The problem is, for that poor guy, horsefly, he's gone nowhere. He can't help himself. He's wrapped up now. The only thing that can save him is if that human being that was taking that picture, video, went up, took him out, and he would cut those, whatever you call them, that he was wrapped up in, cut them off and let him go, and he would. Once you're wrapped up in all of the things of the world, it's really difficult to get yourself unstuck. You need some help. So I'd like to remind you, and you can put it up there, Ash, of the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 11. I love this passage. Are you tired? Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is from the Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Here's an invitation. Come to me, says Jesus. Get away with me. And listen to these words. And you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And then learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful word. When I'm stuck, when I'm all wrapped up, when I've lost that ability to become that person that God intended me to be. And I can't do a thing about that. Jesus says, you allow me, and I will come and I will recover your life for you. And I will teach you the unforced rhythms. If I want to become that person that God wants me to be, if I want to live a different life, I need to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm stuck. Can you please do something about that? Because right now I'm forced, and there's no grace. So four things from Psalm 51. On what we do to start living free and lightly with our God. The first thing I want you to see, to notice, Psalm 51, verse 3. David says, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. The first thing that I need to do, if I want to be unwrapped, to live freely and lightly, is to recognize the problem. As David stands before God, David writes this poem because David remembers my first sermon in this series. I shot and I missed and I didn't make it, Lord. And David recognizes that. And David says, Lord, I'm stupid. I saw this woman. She was taking a bath. And instead of me turning away, saying this is not good, shouldn't be doing this, I kept on watching, Lord. And as I kept on watching, started wrapping me up, Lord. Didn't even see it coming. And then I went a little further, Lord. Then I committed adultery. Married woman, and I knew that. And it just wrapped me up. And instead of coming back to you and saying, sorry, Lord, I messed up. I have sinned before you. Forgive me. I tried to cover it up. And my cover-up led to a murder. And I killed her husband. And David says, I see the problem is me. Transgressions, my stuff, it's all before me. There is no unforced rhythm of grace. There is no living lightly and freely for David. He's carrying a burden, and he's stuck like this, and that relationship with God is all messed up. And when he recognizes the problem, then I can become the person that God intends me to be. The problem with us, and us, I start doing 10 fingers going right this way. We like to cover it up. The problem with the cover-up is exactly what it says. It's only a cover-up. Doesn't take it away. You got your deck chairs out on the deck. Winter comes, you cover it up with a tarp. Winter's gone, you take the tarp away. They're not gone. You're still there, you only cover them up. Yeah, young ones, you got these zits going. You just cover it up, a little cover up. When you wash your face tonight, it's not gone. It's still there. Haven't taken care of it. Relationships. I say this often. Those of you who got married in this church and I was the guy who did your wedding, you'll know that. Bradley, you'll know that. I did with you and Carrie. Where's the others that I did their weddings? Kelly. Remember what I always say? When we have stuff that hurt us, when we struggle, we call it conflict. When there are, oh, Jay, conflict. When that comes in our lives, what do we often do? Cover it up. What happens when we cover it up? We do this. We grow apart. Because next time we get a little conflict, that thing comes back again. And it bites you again. And what does that do to the relationship? There. But the moment
I don't cover it up and I recognize the problem and I say, this is it. Can we talk about it? Can we fix it? And we resolve it. The relationship goes. And I can be closer. Same with God. I cannot become who God wants me to be by covering up. Can I use Mox to pray again? Cannot become who we need to be by remaining who we are. I need to say, this is it. I see it, but I can't do a thing. Here I am, Lord. Just as I am, Lord. Can you do it for me? And then the most beautiful thing happens. The second thing happens. As I walk with the Lord and I get to know the Lord, I put this out there and I ask for this. Verse 17, Ashley, go there for me. The most beautiful thing. I rediscover God for who God is. Because for so many of us, when we think of God, when we grow up with God, we have this idea that God is just ready to reject me. We have this idea that God is just waiting to say, I told you so, Chad. Messed it up. We're so ready to wait for God to say, I'm done with you. I'm going to turn my back on you. I'm going to walk away from you. Look what David discovers. The moment David says, this is my problem. I see it, Lord, and I bring it to you. What does he see about God? A rediscovery. He says, let me just do verse 16 for you before I do that. It says, you do not delight in a sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Then he says, but my sacrifice, all I can bring, God, is a humble, broken, even where it can be humble. Is a humble, broken spirit. Is a humble, contrite heart. I can just bring this to you, Lord. And when I bring this, look what he discovers about God. He will not despise. God will not reject me. God will not say, I told you so. God is not going to point his finger in judgment and say, look at you. Look how far you've fallen. Bring my broken heart. And I bring this wrapped up life. And I say, Lord, I'm struggling. I can't become who I need to be. This is who I am. And God says, it's all I wanted to hear. But Lord, look at me. And then there's this most beautiful, beautiful word. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Anyone know what that is? I'll buy you a coffee. It's written in red because it's Jesus' words. Although it's in Corinthians, it's Jesus' words. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what I discovered. The moment I go to my God, all messed up, wrapped up. And I don't know how to live freely. My Father says, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my power will be made perfect. I can't do it because this is by the God. Never reject a humble heart. He will never reject a broken, needy person that stands in need of a prayer and change. But what if? My grace is sufficient. But what if I did that? My grace is sufficient. I don't know what messes you up. I know what messes me up. I know what gets me. I know what catches me. I know that so well. Can I invite you again this morning to receive these words? My grace is sufficient for you. I don't ask you anything.
I can bring is a broken spirit. Broken and broken. Thank you. The third thing. Go back to verse 12. David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain. Third thing we need to do, not just recognize the problem, rediscover God. And we need to come to God with a willing spirit. A willingness. It wouldn't help David standing there pretending. Pretending that it never happened. Pretending that he's so amazing. Pretending that all is fine and all is good and all is hunky-dory. False before God. God doesn't want that. All God wants to restore the joy to us is me have a willing spirit and saying, here I am. Now take my hand, Lord. Cut this stuff off of me and walk with me. I'm going to take you back to these words in Matthew 11. Listen carefully. Listen to these with me, and then you will learn to live freely and lightly. Work with me. Watch me. Learn from me. And then you will learn. Step program, there are broken people who need to come to a place where they recognize, where they rediscover, where their spirit is willing. And then they need someone that will be there and will sponsor them to help them on their journey as they try to change. God's 12 step. Of all I want.